This is Jen.
This is Kelsey.
And you're listening to the First 50 Pages. I was working at the Morningside branch recently, and a parent asked for interesting nonfiction for her child to read. She continued to explain to me that her daughter enjoyed reading, but at their last parent-teacher conferences, her daughter's teacher asked her to encourage her daughter to read more nonfiction. And Kelsey and I had briefly talked about doing an episode on our favorite nonfiction reads, and this patron's inquiry really got me thinking about why reading nonfiction is so important.
So kind of in, you know, recent years, there's been this whole idea of like a nonfiction revolution, if you will. In a recent article posted on greatschools.org, they talk about, you know, this quote-unquote nonfiction revolution happening in schools. So for years, children's reading and writing is focused on, you know, make-believe stories like fairy tales and talking animals and stuff like that. But as educational standards have evolved, more and more teachers are focusing on factual informational reading. So the article kind of goes on to share that, you know, ACT researchers are finding that incoming college freshmen struggle with reading complex nonfiction text and writing well-researched essays. The researchers concluded that the clearest differentiator in reading between students who are college ready and students who are not is the ability to comprehend complex texts. And some experts argue that nonfiction reading teaches kids how to develop more complex thinking.
And then this article, which I really liked, went on to offer up 6 suggestions to spark your child's nonfiction reading and writing. And I thought these were really good suggestions. And one of them was, they said, pursue the passion. So get books that encourage your child's interests and that kind of satisfies their curiosities, because we know kids ask a million questions, especially young kids. So really pursue and find those books that, you know, will help to answer, you know, questions. Why?
And another suggestion was more is more. I mean, this seems kind of self-explanatory, but, you know, the more that we can offer as far as nonfiction reading material, whether it's books, magazines, newspapers, atlases, kind of the wealth that's there, the more variety, hopefully then there's something that is of interest or that kind of fulfills kids' passions.
Another suggestion they had was be the bookworm, to read a broad range of fiction and nonfiction and talk with your kids about what you're reading.
And then there's the whole idea or suggestion of a reality check. You know, talk about the connections between what your child is reading and events in the news and see if you can kind of make any of those connections or correlations.
Reading nonfiction, it also helps your writing skills. So they also say to suggest new writing projects. So writing a letter to grandma, keeping a diary, writing a play for your neighbor kids. I thought those were creative suggestions, but getting your children to do writing along with reading their nonfiction and maybe tie it together.
And so the last suggestion that this article offered up to us was to kind of get the lowdown. So ask your child's teacher if their reading list includes any nonfiction texts. And if it doesn't, you know, kind of ask the question of why not?
And I like to call those early readers the explorers. And I really think this is a time to introduce nonfiction and let them explore the collection, especially in the library. And you will be amazed and entertained what they discover. One of my very favorite questions to get from kids in the library is, do you have books about, and then fill in the blank. And really, because the answer is almost always yes.
Dinosaurs?
Yes.
Magic tricks?
Yes.
Ballerinas?
Yes.
Fire trucks?
Yes.
Joke books?
Yes.
How to care for your pet hamster?
Yes.
The science of Batman?
Yes.
A book with all the Star Wars vehicles?
Yes, but it's currently checked out to me.
So you might have to wait a little bit on that one until Jen returns it.
I'll find you a different one. I've got that one at home right now.
So for middle grade and teen readers, it's really about helping them find something that they're interested in. This age is interested in learning more about events in history than they might be a hot topic in popular culture. You know, Roswell and UFO sightings, the civil rights movement, and other topics of social justice. The JFK assassination, the Stonewall Rebellion, and biographies and memoirs of interesting people. several publishers are now making quote-unquote young readers editions of popular adult nonfiction. So this can include, you know, like Hidden Figures, Unbroken, Just Mercy.
But what about adult readers? What do adult readers want in nonfiction? And what if you've never been into reading nonfiction? Kelsey and I are here to help. If you're looking to expand beyond the borders of guilty pleasure reading, then this is the episode for you. We are going to share some of our favorite nonfiction books through clips of the library's Check It Out series.
Can you believe that it's been almost 5 years that we've been doing these 2-minute book reviews? We counted it up, and we have done over 40 reviews for nonfiction titles. We're going to share clips from our favorites in this episode.
I'm so excited. I think this is going to be so much fun. And it was really fun to actually go back and look at the titles, because we really do have a great variety.
Yeah, like we knew that we had some, but we didn't quite know that we had quite the variety and really the sheer number of nonfiction recommendations.
And they don't come from just one staff person. That's another thing that I really loved about this, that there's such a diverse group of our staff who have contributed nonfiction reviews.
And we didn't guilt them into participating or anything.
In fact, I don't even know if they know they're participating in the podcast.
They'll be famous again.
So if we break it down, one of the categories that we found that we had done several Check It Out reviews on was biographies and memoirs. And I think that is an easy transition for someone who really isn't a fan of nonfiction. So reading about somebody that is famous or that we know, it's an easy transition into nonfiction. It's not quite as heavy as some of the other things can be. And I think we've got some fun ones. One of my favorites, Kelsey, probably my most favorite, and I should make people listen longer to hear my favorite, but I love this Check It Out. And it was Born to Run. It was the Bruce Springsteen autobiography. Springsteen autobiography. And this is one that Kelsey recorded. So we're going to share a clip of that with you.
Within its pages, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Springsteen traces his early life growing up in a Catholic New Jersey family, to the musical experiences that prompted his career, to the rise of the E Street Band, and with disarming honesty tells the stories behind some of his most famous songs. A natural storyteller, the boss writes with the same powerful lyricism that he brings to his music. That same music that fans the world over know and love, myself included. Written with the wisdom of a man who has thought long and hard about his experiences, Springsteen's autobiography is truly one for the ages. Never have I ever encountered a rock and roll autobiography that is so thought-provoking and engaging. I couldn't put it down. Whether you are a diehard fan or a Springsteen newbie, you will find yourself completely enthralled by Springsteen's stories, dreading the day when you'll reach that final page. So I know Born to Run, although it's one of my favorite biography memoirs, probably one of my favorite Check It Outs that I heard was actually by our local history librarian, Jesse Wakefield, who read and did a review for Check It Out on Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood by Trevor Noah.
22 years ago, on a fledgling cable television station, a 30-minute show about news and political satire hit the airwaves. It quickly went from an obscure show to a television juggernaut under the helm of Jon Stewart. When Jon Stewart retired from the position in 2015, everyone was wondering what big-name personality was going to fill the seat behind the desk. When it was announced that Trevor Noah was the new captain of the ship, most of America said, "Trevor who?" Born a Crime is a quick read that takes little vignettes of Noah's life and weaves them to create a book that made me angry of injustice in one sentence, and then laugh out loud from his perspective in the next. Each chapter of the book is full of character, humor, but also gives insightful and maddening examples of injustice, segregation, and blatant systematic racism.
Even our previous library director, Betsy Thompson, participated in our Check It Out series, and the one that she recommended I thought was really an excellent book and a great read. So she recommended A Truck Full of Money by Tracy Kidder.
The book is part biography of Paul English, who's a brilliant software engineer, and it's part business book about the wild, mad adventure that is entrepreneurship, venture capital, and startup culture. As his story unfolds, we learn that Paul English is especially good at building business teams. He's always recruiting, sometimes for businesses and jobs that exist only in his head, looking for the right balance of energy among the people he hires. He became known as somewhat of a Pied Piper of geeks. If a programmer resisted an idea, saying it was too difficult to implement, Paul English might say to the recalcitrant coder, "Okay, but can you think of anyone who's smart enough to do it?"
And Kelsey and I just want to continue to wish Betsy a happy retirement. It's been a few years that she hasn't been with us now, but we know she still listens to Check It Out.
Every single week. So another popular category that we've done, you know, quite a few Check It Out segments on, we've kind of dubbed health and wellness. And Jen had one of my absolute favorites that she's done, and it's on Lori Gottlieb's book, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, a therapist, her therapist, and our lives revealed.
I pushed this book on everybody. I loved it. Written with empathy and compassion, the author gives us insight into what it is like to be both patient and therapist, from her own experiences as both. Gottlieb shares stories of her sessions with a wide array of clients, including John, a successful TV producer who is almost impossible to like, and Julie, a young newlywed with a terminal illness who is struggling to deal with all that her diagnosis brings. The author blends these themes of belonging, emotional pain, and healing into her own moving narrative as she struggles to work through therapy herself in the wake of her own emotional crisis. At times funny and at times heartwarming and moving, the candid and conversational writing style will keep you hooked. And because we've been doing this series for 5 years now, we have, you know, really staff past and present. We have, unfortunately, had staff that have moved away from the area. But one of the, I want to say, originals to participate. to participate and Check It Out was Donna Brooks. And I'm a big fan of Elizabeth Gilbert's writing. And Donna recommended Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Gilbert offers an empathetic and passionate guide to creative living by encouraging readers not to quit their day jobs, but to pursue ambitions, however big or small, driven by curiosity rather than fear. Big Magic is structured in 6 sections: courage, enchantment, permission, persistence, trust, and divinity. Her writing is conversational and at times laugh-out-loud funny, yet she offers authority in her subject through humility, research, and powerful personal experience. She provides insights on fostering inspiration through overcoming self-doubt and calls upon her reader to pursue any activity that opens them up to wonder or joy. Her love of creative living is infectious and left me engaged, inspired, and eager to recommend.
And rounding out our trio of favorites in health and wellness is a recommendation that Barb Gross did for Check It Out on The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science by Kenji Lopez-Alt.
If you enjoy knowing the whys of cooking right along with some fantastic recipes, you'll have great fun with this book. The kitchen is full of old wives' tales about best methods. Kenji takes these myths and tests them scientifically to arrive at data-based conclusions. He writes, "Cooking by rote, even when your mentors are some of the greatest chefs in the world, is paralyzing. Only by understanding the underlying principles involved in cookery can you free yourself from both recipes and blindly accepting conventional wisdom." I've used the Food Lab to create some very memorable dishes: authentic Texas chili, perfect hollandaise, lasagna with a slow-cooked bolognese sauce, flaky, tender buttermilk biscuits, and so many more. Even if you never set foot in a kitchen, the Food Lab is a delightful read.
Of course, nonfiction always includes history. And there is always something fascinating in history to explore. And we had a lot of history books that were chosen for our Check It Out series, but a few of our favorites. Kelsey, you did one on Passing Strange, a Gilded Age tale of love and deception across the color line by Martha Sandweiss.
Yes, Sandweiss. And I first read it back in college, but then I reread it again when I saw that we had it at the library, and I found even way more stuff that was I guess, improbable and crazy and exciting that I didn't necessarily expect, you know, sometimes when you're reading nonfiction.
And sometimes, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction, right?
Very, very true.
This work tells the true, however improbable, tale of the secret double life led by noted explorer and geologist Clarence King. Sandweiss, a noted historian, is the detective who, through rigorous research and use of letters, newspaper accounts, and interviews, has pieced together his extraordinary story. Known as a brilliant scientist, witty conversationalist, and as the man who mapped the West, Clarence King grew up in a life of privilege in New England. Sandweiss notes that Clarence King went through life tempted by risk and attracted to the exotic, but fearful of losing the social prerogatives that defined his place in the world. For 13 years, King lived his double life as the celebrated white explorer, geologist, and writer Clarence King, and as a black Pullman porter and steelworker named James Todd.
Nonfiction, especially history nonfiction, doesn't have to be boring, or it doesn't have to feed into that whole idea that, oh my gosh, that's not going to be super interesting to read at all. Lacey Fullerton actually is a huge wrestling fan, so she did a really great check it out for us on Sisterhood of the Squared Circle, The History and Rise of Women's Wrestling by Pat LaPrade and Dan Murphy.
This book highlights important women in wrestling from the past and present, and also shows the evolution of women's wrestling from its beginnings as a sideshow act to its current state in 2017, where female wrestlers are big stars, just like their male counterparts. For much of the history of wrestling, though, women struggled to find places to even show off their skills. In many states, women's wrestling was illegal and deemed improper and vulgar. The authors take us on a journey through the highest and lowest points of women's wrestling, from the days of lady grapplers being a carnival attraction to the much-hyped WrestleMania match in the 1980s between the legendary Fabulous Moolah and newcomer Wendy Richter. The story of Mildred's personal struggles and wrestling glories will keep any reader hooked, whether or not you're a wrestling fan.
And sometimes in nonfiction, you really are looking for a sweeping story, meticulous research that really dives into detail. And who better than our local history librarian, Jessie Wakefield, to deliver a check it out like that. Jessie reviewed The Black Count, Glory, Revolution, Betrayal, and The Real Count of Monte Cristo by Tom Rees.
Nothing can live up to the exciting, over-the-top adventures Alexandre Dumas concocted, except maybe the real-life exploits of his father, Thomas Alexandre Dumas, the inspiration and pattern of some of literature's greatest protagonists. It takes a while before Dumas begins to emerge in the narrative, and then it is wonderful to hear the authentic voice of the man himself. In dispatches and letters home to his wife, we hear the voice of a proud man speaking clearly and with extraordinary and somewhat reckless courage.
But when we're talking about nonfiction, we can't forget the sciences, whether it's social science, sociology, or, you know, true science, mathematics, all of that type of stuff in nonfiction. There are definitely some pretty interesting books out there that we've recommended on Check It Out. One of my personal favorites that I recorded for Check It Out was Packing for Mars, The Curious Science of Life in the Void by Mary Roach.
What happens if you vomit in your helmet during a spacewalk? What happens when you can't walk for a year? Or smell flowers? Is it possible for the human body to survive a bailout at 17,000 miles per hour? Why is it impolite for astronauts to float upside down during conversations? Just how smelly does a spacecraft get after a two-week mission? Armed with a love of the absurd and a thirst for knowledge, however strange it might seem, Mary Roach has written an utterly entertaining tale on the tough and somewhat disgusting realities about life in outer space.
We've even recruited people outside of the library to write Check It Outs for us. And Steve Smith, the operations manager for Sulium Public Media, who is actually our partner in production for the first 50 pages and Check It Out, reviewed Moneyball, The Art of Winning, an Unfair Game by Michael Lewis.
Baseball season is upon us, and it doesn't matter if it's Little League, high school, college, or the pros, the sights, smells, and sounds are alive and well. When it comes to cheering for a specific team, a lot of times people like to cheer for the underdog. And in the book Moneyball by Michael Lewis, we get a good look at how Billy Beane and the underdogs, the Oakland Athletics, were able to win a lot of games despite being one of the poorest teams in Major League Baseball. Billy Beane was a great high school baseball player in the 1980s. When he graduated, he signed a contract with the New York Mets. But he soon lost his talent and was overshadowed by his teammates. Later, Billy became a talent scout for the Oakland Athletics and eventually the general manager. As the GM, he would use a new mathematical strategy that would revolutionize the baseball industry.
And our last recommendation in our sciences category comes from Barb Gross, and she recommended The Uninhabitable Earth, Life After Warming by David Wallace Wells. And this one, Barb's recommendation, was actually picked up by NPR to be included in their annual book concierge. So if you listen to this, check it out. It's a little bit famous.
I can't say I'm recommending it because that would imply that I think you'll like it. You won't. It's horrifying, but it's also an important, rigorously sourced, must-read book about the future of our planet. Wallace Wells begins by stating, "It is worse, much worse than you think." The Earth, he writes, has had several extinction events in its history, and in almost every case, the catastrophe was precipitated by a drastic increase in greenhouse gases. In other words, climate change, just like what we're seeing today. Many people in this country, including government leaders, think scientists are crying wolf when they warn about climate change. Wallace Wells makes the case that this is not true. And even while he allows that we have the tools to stop transformative climate change, he maintains that we lack the political or economic will to do it. So sit down, perhaps with a strong beverage, grit your teeth, and read The Uninhabitable Earth.
Another category of nonfiction, and for all you fans of the Dewey Decimal System, it's 364.1523 if you want to come browse in the library.
You're going to be super specific.
True crime. We can't leave out true crime. One that was recommended, and actually, this one is actually not cataloged in 364.1523. It's cataloged more in the history, but I totally think it's true crime.
I totally think it's both.
Jesse Wakefield recommended Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders, and The Birth of the FBI by David Graham.
After the discovery of oil in the 1920s under the land of the Osage Indian Reservation in Oklahoma, tribe members became some of the wealthiest individuals in the world. They lived in mansions, sent their children to schools in Europe, had servants, and had more money than most of America. They lived their lives as they saw fit, which completely outraged their white neighbors. One by one, the Osage millionaires began to be killed off. By the time outside agencies were involved, more than 24 individuals had been murdered. The newly created FBI took up the case and became the first major homicide investigation. J. Edgar Hoover turned to a former Texas Ranger named Tom White to try to unravel this mystery. White put together an undercover team, including one of the only Native American agents in the Bureau. They infiltrated the region, struggling to adopt the latest modern techniques of detection. Together with the Osage, they began to expose one of the most sinister conspiracies in American history.
Jen, my lovely co-host, recommended American Kingpin, The Epic Hunt for the Criminal Mastermind Behind the Silk Road by Nick Bilton.
It's a fascinating book.
Ross grew up in the suburbs of Texas. A physics major at Penn State, Ross embraced the libertarian ideals of a society free from government control. He believed that legalizing drugs would end much of the violence and oppression that he saw in the world. In the 2 years of its existence, the Silk Road became a $1.2 billion enterprise. Under the moniker of the Dread Pirate Roberts, Ross became the kingpin, eventually going so far as to commission the murders of those who crossed him. Journalist and author Nick Bilton tells an engrossing story of this outlaw subculture of drug dealers, internet hackers, and Bitcoin scammers,
and the government's hunt to identify and capture the dread Pirate Roberts.
And one of our more recent staff recruits to check it out, Sarah Enright, recommended I'll Be Gone in the Dark, One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer by Michelle McNamara. This book is to die for, and I don't mean it to be punny as part of true crime, but it's so, so good.
It's still on my to-be-read list. I gotta move it up.
Part true crime thriller and part personal memoir, author and true crime journalist Michelle McNamara flawlessly weaves together her own story of passionate determination as she becomes enthralled with bringing a killer to justice. She depicts countless hours of sifting through mountains of evidence and gaining the trust of investigators, while at the same time painting a portrait of an elusive serial rapist turned murderer. Michelle was responsible for coining the term Golden State Killer after several infamous crime sprees, including robbery, rape, intrusion, and murder that occurred throughout California from 1974 to 1986 were linked to the same individual. Sadly, in 2016, before finishing the book, Michelle suddenly passed away. Just as persistent as Michelle, her husband, Patton Oswalt, made it his mission to complete the book. When the book was published in February of 2018, the case was still unsolved. In April of that same year, a series of events, sparked by familial DNA, led to the arrest of 72-year-old Joseph James DeAngelo, who had eluded police for over three decades.
I am always a fan of a book that reads like a novel in nonfiction. I love the research that goes into nonfiction and the detail, but I love a compelling storyline and a character-driven story. So narrative nonfiction really is one of my favorite. And a lot of these from these different categories that we pulled out actually are, you know, can fall into both narrative nonfiction. But I think these are some of my favorite nonfiction reads.
And we really wanted to highlight that, you know, nonfiction doesn't have to just be facts and figures and, like, staid, boring sentences. You know, it really can truly feel like you're reading a fiction story, but it's all facts.
One of our check-it-outs from this year, it's a pretty new check-it-out, but I've heard multiple people tell me that they were fascinated by this story, was one that Kelsey reviewed. Underground, A Human History of the Worlds Beneath Our Feet by Will Hunt.
From an early age, I've always had a fascination with the stars, moon, and the unknowns of the sky above, and I've read plenty of science fiction stories set in space. But I never really thought to look down and take notice of what's beneath our feet. Showing us that indeed there are worlds just as exciting below our feet, Underground skillfully explores the history, science, architecture, and mythology of those worlds. Underground is both a personal exploration of Hunt's obsession and a panoramic study of how we're all connected to the underground, how caves and other dark hollows have frightened and enchanted us through the ages. In a narrative spanning continents and epochs, Hunt follows a cast of subterraneophiles who have dedicated themselves to investigating underground worlds. The last line of the book jacket states, "Underground is a meditation on the allure of darkness, the power of mystery, and our eternal desire to connect with what we cannot see." And then Barb Gross recommended Just Mercy, A Story of Justice and Redemption by Bryan Stevenson. And if I'm remembering right, I still think the film adaptation might still be in the movie theater.
It could still be in the theaters.
Maybe. Don't quote us on that.
It's the story of a young African-American lawyer working in the Deep South in the 1980s. One of Stevenson's first cases was that of Walter McMillan, a young black man sentenced to die for the murder of a white woman, a murder he couldn't have committed. Walter was at a barbecue with dozens of people at the time of the murder, yet he spent more than 6 years on death row. Walter's story is interwoven with many other cases Stevenson handled. Some he took all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. He writes, "You can't effectively fight abusive power, poverty, inequality, illness, oppression, or injustice and not be broken by it."
One other nonfiction story that I think is powerful reading for anyone who hasn't explored this book, Zaytun by Dave Eggers. Christine Yezdemer recommended this.
Set in New Orleans during the time of Hurricane Katrina, Zaytoun lets you experience the flooding and devastation of the city, watch the enactment of a military state, and feel the confusion and fear from Katrina's victims. While his family flees the city before the storm, Abdul Rahman Zaytoun, a Syrian-American landlord who owns a painting and contracting business, decides to stay behind to look after his properties and work sites. Luckily, there is a working phone in one of his rental properties, and he faithfully calls his anxious wife every day at noon. One day, Zaytoun stops calling. She starts to believe he is among New Orleans' rising death toll, until she gets a call from a missionary who tells her that he saw Zaytoun locked up in a jail cell. How Zaytoun got there is a suspenseful story of a series of injustices suffered by a Muslim American caught up in the disastrous response to Hurricane Katrina.
So I hope that you will maybe take some of our reading suggestions. If you didn't love these, there's like 20 more in our Check It Out series that you can choose from. But if you read nonfiction, you know, it's kind of like, I think, like vegetables in a way.
Like, you know they're good for you and you should eat them.
You know that you're going to be more intelligent and well-rounded when you read nonfiction. I mean, many of the world's most successful people make it a point to read nonfiction books. So even if you don't read nonfiction all the time, throw it into your reading rotation, I think you'll be surprised.
I would say for me, another perk of, you know, kind of mixing in or, you know, spicing up my reading habits with some nonfiction is that it does really help improve your concentration, as well as it really helps you become a better communicator. Sometimes you wouldn't know it, but until you're kind of put in on the spot situations, you know, you might have a new word to throw out there. You might have a new piece of trivia that you can share with all of your friends and family.
Reading is good for your brain, so just keep reading.
This is Kelsey.
And this is Jen.
And thank you for listening to the first 50 pages.